Now, the Christmas break often allows us to take stock and recharge our batteries, even to start again. And it's to new beginnings we turn now. And we're joined by Benedictine monk Father Simon Sleeman on the line from Glenstall Abbey in County Limerick. You're very welcome to the programme, Father Sleeman.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you.
Now, I know this is a really busy time of the year for you, but you say we should seize this time. Indeed, it's a busy time for everybody. Yeah. But you say seize this time to think about change and rebirth. Why?
Well, I suppose Christmas is obviously about birth, and it's because I came across a concept which is called natality, which means being born again. And I found that a very inspirational concept in contrast to the world I grew up in, which was a world where mortality was the focus, our death, that we were beings towards death. And Hannah Arendt, who's a German Jewish philosopher, came up with this notion, at least she was the person I came across writing about it, natality, that we should, you know, we have overemphasized death in philosophy and religion and not paid enough attention to birth. And so she says, listen, let's refocus, let's rebalance it, and let's focus on birth as the most significant moment of our lives. That we're natals, born to live, not just the inevitability of dying. So that's why this is a very important time for me, really.
Because the Catholic Church really does focus on preparing for death and the afterlife. So this is a sort of a very new and fresh concept that you explore.
Well, it gives a completely different. We all need a story to live out, and the story that I was living out, that one of focusing on death, it's rather like a dark cloud in the foreground that you're going towards. You know, this inevitability of death. Whereas Hannah Arendt, if you're beginning off with birth and the possibility of rebirth, and you're looking out at a landscape which has got a whole lot of freshness in it, that she's asking us to celebrate this life, to live it to the full. You know, and that gives me energy and vitality as I try to make sense of this life and go forward.
So is this about living in the now?
It's about living in the present moment and enjoying, making the most of this life, rather than an abbot of ours used to say, putting on makeup, waiting for the next life, you know, that I'm not going to sit around spending my life doing that. I want to suck every last moment out of this present existence and not to have that constant sort of dark shadow, which death is. We're not saying death is not important. She's not saying that. She's saying, but let's re-emphasize, let's rebalance it, you know. Let's rebalance it by introducing this other notion of natality and that we're natals, born to live, to celebrate life in one with all its wonder.
Is there an element of this around worry? Because people spend a lot of time, some people, fretting and worrying about what's going to happen next. And while they're doing that, their life is passing them by.
Exactly, that your life is frittered away because you're so taken up with the future rather than the present. I agree with you entirely that we've got to it's all about rebalancing the thing, not saying we're going from one totally to the other, but it's rebalancing the story that we live out of so that it is enhancing of life. I come that you may have life and have it to the full, Jesus said. You know, and that's what I'm at. That's my obsession, is to find what actually delivers life, what promotes life, you know, vitality. And that's what I'm after. And my mother said to me yesterday, listen, when she dies, I'm not to mention her death at all. It says, she lived until she was, not she died at, you know. There's a different emphasis, Claire, and I think it changes how you feel in the world.
Tell me how you do it.
Well, I think what we all have a story in our heads, mental furniture, you know, that guides our sense of who we are, that our thoughts guide how we feel in the world. So if I operate out of this metaphor, and these are metaphors, I mean, they're not, you know, these are metaphors to explain how to do that. If I operate out of this, then three things happen for me. One is that I take this life seriously. That is, this is not just an audition for a next life. This is a moment to celebrate, to get the most out of it. So that's the first thing it does for me. And that, I think that echoes living in a beautiful landscape, looking out, standing up, looking out at this thing rather than facing a gloomy cloud in the foreground. And I think it also gets me to reconnect with this world that we're living in, to value it and the nature in it. Because I think the premise of the mortality version, you're passing through, so this world doesn't make a whole lot of difference. We can treat it as we will. And I think that's part of the contribution to the ecological crisis that we have, that we didn't value enough the current world that we're living in, you know?
So value nature.
Pope Francis, Laudato Si, that this is our common home. We're sharing this home with lots of other creatures. And this is our home. It's not just somewhere where, you know, for me, this is my home. This is where I'm living this beautiful world that we're living in, you know.
So take this life seriously, you say.
Reconnect
and value this life.
Yeah, second thing it does, the natality emphasizes the feminine, you know, the importance of the feminine. Again, it rebalances our masculine feminine, which is so necessary and so important. So that does, you know, we've all these, especially in the Catholic Church, all the female mystics of the 12th century who had so much sin and who had the ear of the popes and everybody, you know, but all those have disappeared. So it rebalances the feminine for me. And then the possibility of beginning again, because we always need the possibility of beginning again. Elie Wiesel, who is a Romanian Jewish guy, survivor of the Holocaust, he said, listen, what God gave Abraham was not forgiveness of sins, but the capacity to begin again. And we have that capacity to begin again. So birthing, natality, natals, birthing, that's what we've got that capacity, and let's enjoy it. We can begin again. New politics, even.
You know what's rattling around in my brain now as I'm talking to you, Simon?
Yeah.
New Year's resolutions. I am going to join a gym. I'm going to stop eating all that rubbish. I'm going to run a marathon. Yeah. Does that play into this philosophy that you have, or is rebirth something that you try to achieve every day of your life?
Well, every day, you've got to start again almost every day. But I think I think all of us have a story that we're operating out of. You know, no matter, you can't have no story, because that's our human nature. We exist from a story, whatever that ideology may be, or whatever that story is. So what I try to, and it's a big effort, to implant this idea of rebirth, of celebrating this life, you know, and it therefore becomes a guiding philosophy, you know. As I say, if I look out at the landscape from the position of natality, it's a very different one from looking out at from the perspective I'm going to die and this is inevitable and I better be good and, you know, my goodness, there's an exam test at the end of this and maybe I'll fail and then there's heaven and hell and purgatory. You know?
But that's what we're told, isn't it?
What's one version of what we're told? I believe there's another version, you see, that's what I'm saying. I think there is another version. And for me, all those will take care of themselves. If I get this one half right, then that's all I can do, is do this one to the best of my ability. And that's about living life to the full, you know. That's like, there's a wonderful Psalm 91 which says, you know, the just will flourish like the palm tree and grow like a Lebanon cedar. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God, still bearing fruit, Claire. That's where still bearing fruit when they are old, still full of sap, still green. So I got the pension this year and a bus pass. So I'm anxious to keep the sap flowing and remain green, you know. That's what God is about vitality, about life, about, you know, that's for me anyway. Look, that's my obsession, is that Christianity should be about that, and that we've got to get back to recover the excitement of that, the experience of God. Now, you know, that's what I've given my life to, trying to work this thing out and see, you know, does this work? Does this produce life? Because otherwise, really, it's not of interest to me, you know.
You got your pension, but I'm assuming that you've no intention of retiring.
Oh, no, well, listen, that's not an option, really. I was bursar here, but I've been retired in a certain level. But no, listen, you never retire in the monastery. You have no question of getting off the hook, yeah.
You have to keep going.
There's always work to be done here, I can tell you that.
And Christmas Day, you will be celebrating Mass at 10 o'clock in the morning, isn't that right?
Well, I get this gig, yes, Claire. We've three Masses. We've Midnight Mass, which is at midnight, goes on to about 1:30 in the morning. And then we've a 10 o'clock Mass for the punters who want this sort of a low-key spoken Mass, because all our Masses normally have Gregorian chants sung at them. And then we've another one at 12:10. We've 12 o'clock, which is another major, you know, to go on for an hour. So it's lots of singing, whereas the 10 o'clock one is a sort of miselected, they call it, a spoken Mass. And that falls to me. I don't quite know why. Maybe because I'm a poor singer, that's probably why.
Is there a challenge, though, in putting together a sermon for Christmas Day Mass?
Absolutely. You know, listen, these are families with children, that's the thing, and you can't go on too long. But every sermon is a challenge. And we are in the very unique position of being able to take time, because you're not on every Sunday. You know, there's 30-something of us, and therefore it comes around relatively. So you can spend crafting a sermon I enjoy very much. It takes a lot of work, a lot of time, but we're privileged that we don't have to churn them out every week, you know. But it's a challenge, and it's, you know, to say something that people will, to give people some hope, some a nugget to go away with in their breast that they can take with them and that might help.
And how is
in this strange and wonderful world, you know?
I mean, you live a very different life to many people listening today.
Crazy, yeah.
How will Christmas be celebrated in Glenstall?
Christmas is wonderful here. It's really run between the refectory eating and the church praying. You're up and down, up and down, up and down. But it's quiet. It's the one time of the year when there's nobody here, no boys in the school, no guests in the guest. It's just ourselves, and we cater for ourselves. And the chant is beautiful. I mean, Gregorian chant. I know nothing about Gregorian chant other than that I try to do it. But if you take it, here's one example. I do Advent. When Advent comes around, the chant all changes, you know, and somehow it lifts me over the lintel of ordinary time into this Advent experience. It changes how I feel. Yeah, that's what liturgy is meant to do to us. We're meant to go in there and come out feeling different. That took me a long time to understand that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was all duty and obligation. I had to go to Mass, blah, blah, blah. But there's a whole other possibility about ritual being transformational, which it should be. Help us in our natality and our vitality. You know, that's what it should be doing for us.
Have we lost that as a nation?
I think there's a great danger. I think the Irish people have a sense of faith and of the spirit, which is very strong. But there's a danger that it gets lost in the hurly-burly and the busyness and blah, 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 and trying to keep things going. But, you know, all that stuff thins out in the end, and it's not sustaining, you know, all the material, the consumerism, the busyness. You know, you do come back, you're brought back to ground some stage, and you hit ground and say, well, what is it all about? You know, what is there anything solid in the basement when you hit it? And we all get brought down to hit that basement at some point in our lives.
But people have very different ways now of expressing their spirituality. There's a story in the Irish Times today about a man called Richard Cullen. He puts a crib in an old phone box on the Boyle to Roscommon Road, and he reckons that somebody stops every hour to reflect, to take a photograph, just to look at it. I mean, is that telling us that people are looking for other places to take time out and reflect?
Absolutely. People are hungry for spirituality, and that's, it's not just a fad or bored people looking for some other entertainment. People are hungry for an experience of that's real and sustaining. You know, we're all looking for this more, and we take that literally, and off we go and shop, trying to satisfy ourselves with the more. But that's taking our moreish feeling literally, rather than it's really for me. It's that more is for God. It's for the spirit. You know, that's the secret. The secret is that we are weak. There is God exists. God is alive. God is, and that He comes to birth in us at Christmas. You know, that's the Meister Eckhart said that. What does it avail if this birth is happening if it doesn't happen to me? You know, that it's not just all locking divinity into a single person, Jesus. We're all meant to become divine. That's the and we've a guide, the Holy Spirit, to guide us in that. That we're not the project managers of this. There is a divine artist who will work in us if we agree to this process. It's an invitation. It's not mandatory at all. This is an invitation. For me, it's an invitation from God to try and do this. And it's hard work. It's hard work.
Well, it's very difficult to escape the commercialism of Christmas. Now, maybe it's not when you're in Glenstall Abbey, but it's probably very difficult everywhere else to escape the present buying and the pressure that exists around all of that.
Actually, that's all fun too, a lot of that, you know? Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know...
You don't disagree with that?
I just think the thing is not to mistake that for something that's going to sustain you at a deeper level, you know? All those presents and everything, they're ways of connecting with people and sharing and joy and love. I mean, that's all. But it's just when these become... You see, consumerism pretends that it can fill us up, and it's dependent on us remaining disconnected from people, from our own nature, keeping this emptiness alive so we can pretend to fill it up, and it doesn't work. We know it doesn't work. You know, the greatest travesty for me now is when I go around the place and I see self-storage facilities which have developed since 1964 into a $2 billion industry. In other words, that you can store yourself somewhere else, you know. You've got so much stuff now. Anyway, Claire, that's that. But that consumer, it's just an illusion that it can act, because I've done it. I remember as a child seeing a tracksuit bottom in a shop and say, oh my goodness, I have to have that tracksuit, I have to have that. And then you get it and you realise, oh my goodness, that isn't it, that isn't it.
It doesn't fill the void.
And we keep, you know, we keep hoping that the next thing will, and it doesn't.
You could have had a very different life to the one that you chose.
I was reading
that your father was a British Army officer, and that really was where you were headed to, wasn't it, at one point?
I left school in 1969. I went to Belize for a year of voluntary work, and then I came back and said, yes, I'll go to the British Army, because all my family for the generations back had been in the Army. I said, well, this is it. Short service commission, see the world, paratrooping, very exciting. And I came up to visit Glensoe, where I had been at school and which I'd enjoyed, and I stood in the circle. This is how I remember it now. It's a long time ago. And I felt this absolute feeling in my legs, my feet, the sort of warmth rising up through my body, saying, oh my God, this is it. I had no interest really in becoming a monk or following this type of life, but it was like an invitation that I could either say, yes, I'll go with that, or no thank you, I'm going to go off to Belize again or someplace else and find party time, because I spent a year in the Belize after that school, and it was just party time. It was wonderful, reggae dancing, soul music, so you know, that's a whole other way of life. But anyway, this thing happened, and I said, okay, I had my medical for the British Army and everything, I cancelled that, said to the abbot, I think I'm meant to be here, and that's 47 years ago, and I've tried to escape nearly every day since, but
I'm sure that's not
back.
True. Could you ever see yourself living outside Glenstall?
I could, of course. You know, every day you sort of say, what am I doing in this crazy type of life? You know, living with 30 men in a fake medieval castle, trying to keep the whole thing going. So you envisage, which you're always looking at the grass greener on the other side. So I have the vision, but listen, I've tried to leave. There are occasions when I've gone off for a while, and I keep getting a nudge from the spirit saying, Go back. This is it. This is your place. This is where you're going to find it. And I'm trusting the guidance of God and trying to let go and let that happen, because that get myself out of the way so God can operate anyway.
Well, yeah. Father Simon Sleeman, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you,
I wish you a happy Christmas, and all of your colleagues there in Glenstall Abbey in County Limerick.
You. And the same to you, Claire, and to everybody listening.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, we are going to take a short break, and we'll have some wonderful music for you after this.